Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I don't know if you do or not, but we are going to be in Luke chapter number 1, verse 76 through 80. I'm going to take about 10 minutes here and finish up a thought that we began this morning. We began this morning looking at the first part of the benediction offered by Zacharias. If you're visiting with us, well, the context is John the Baptist has been birthed to Zacharias and Elizabeth, who are old, and she has been barren, but God by his power has caused them to have a son. He is John the Baptist. He has been born, he has been circumcised, and the tongue of Zacharias that has been idle and chastened for 9 months has been loosed, and he has offered to us a great benediction, a great song of praise that gives us great details and answers many questions on Christmas and what it's about and what it's for. One of the most interesting notes that I made here is, although Zacharias is going to mention his newborn son in this latter part of his benediction, and the unique role that he will play in the coming of the Messiah, the focus of Zacharias has not been on himself or his son. The focus has been on the mighty works of God and the part that God had given his son to play in the unfolding revelation of salvation. So I want us to read these verses, and then we'll say just a couple of things about them. In 10 minutes we'll be walking out the door, but I want to share these thoughts with you. Verse 76. "And thou, child," speaking of John the Baptist, "shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." Now here we see that there is a designation of John the Baptist. He has an appointment of God. He will be a prophet of the highest. He will be one in a long line of men who have looked forward and have told of the Messiah's coming. A prophet was one who spoke under divine influence, and so John will become the mouthpiece of God himself here as he grows, and he has been appointed by God to be a prophet. We see that his activity here will be to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. He will prepare all God will do through Christ the Messiah. The idea here is that he will remove all obstacles that are in the way for the arrival of the King, and Jesus will arrive without fail. He will travel without difficulty. He will be undelayed without any hindrances because John the Baptist has prepared the way. That's his activity. That's what his role is in the realm of salvation. But what I want to focus on here is the declaration that he makes, or that he will make. John, in preparing people for the coming of the Lord, prepares them by proclaiming to them a message. He will not be physically moving obstacles that are in the way of Christ on a physical road, but John the Baptist will be removing spiritual hindrances to the coming of Jesus Christ. And here's his message. It begins with a reminder of salvation. In their worldly and political aspirations, the Jews had lost the idea of what salvation truly consisted of. They had replaced true salvation with vain dreams and all sorts of hopes and ideas. And John's task will be to communicate the knowledge of God's salvation. That's how Zacharias puts it. He will communicate the knowledge of God's salvation to people. Now, let me say that this knowledge that John the Baptist is going to communicate is an actual possession or the actual experience of salvation. It's not some mental perception of what salvation is. It's the experimental knowledge of God's salvation, not intellectual knowledge. It's sort of like, you know, the angels will not be able to sing songs of redemption because they haven't experienced it. Now, understand, John is going to preach to people who knew all the right answers theologically. There's lots of people like that today. Some of you are here tonight. You have all the right answers theologically. You have, you know all the creeds, you know all the doctrines, you know all the theological history, but you know nothing of the knowledge of salvation from an experience standpoint. You don't understand the salvation that God is providing through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And John will have to plow through their religious pride to prepare their hearts for the coming of the Lord. He is going to remind them once again that salvation comes from God and not from man. And he does that by sharing with them the truth of the remission of sins. The message that John will communicate, the message of Christmas, I think, is that God is not into keeping score. He's not about keeping score of who's keeping the requirements of the law. That's not salvation. Good works is not salvation. But salvation comes not from keeping the requirements of the law, but being forgiven for not keeping the requirements of the law. That's salvation. It's not us doing good, but it's us being forgiven for not doing good. So John will declare that no man who does not have his sins remitted or forgiven will have salvation. No matter how religious they are, no matter what nation they were born in, no matter how nice they were, no matter how much good they did, no matter how religious they may have been, you must have your sins forgiven for you to have salvation. That is the message, clearly, of the remission of sins. And these folks that John is going to speak to have no knowledge of that kind of salvation. They have a knowledge of keeping the law. They have a knowledge of being religious. They have a knowledge of doing or being Jews. But they had no knowledge of salvation coming through Jesus Christ. Now we can look in the Old Testament. We can see forgiveness of sins described in various ways. One place, it is described as sending our sins far away. The picture of that is on the Day of Atonement, the priest would lay his hands on the head of the goat and symbolically put all the sins of the nation of Israel on that goat and send him out to the wilderness, and he would never, ever be seen again. The sending away of our sins. When you are forgiven by God in salvation, your sins have been sent away. Or it's pictured this way. The putting of our sins as far as the east is from the west. There can be no farther point that our sins have been separated from us than from the east to the west. And then there's another way it's put. It's putting our sins in the deepest part of the ocean. You know, there are parts of the ocean that still have never been explored, nor yet will ever be explored. Our sins are that deep. Or it's put as a blotting out and a remembering no more. That is the remission of our sins. Although we are sinful, although we have sins, through Jesus Christ we have been forgiven of our sins, and they have been sent away. They have been blotted out. They have been put from east to west. They are the deepest parts of the ocean. They are gone to be remembered no more by God. It is not keeping track of the good that God does for salvation. It's the forgiving of the bad. And Americans need to desperately hear that. It's not about your doing good. It's about God forgiving all of your bad through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Forgiveness of sins, the blotting out of your sins, the sending away of your sins true salvation only comes through the sacrifice and the shedding of blood by the Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. And the result of remission is peace with God. You see, that's what really Christmas is about. It's about God furthering His salvational plan, sending His Son, who will go to the cross, die there, the substitutionary death, shed His blood so that you and I can have our sins forgiven and we can be at peace with God. That's what Christmas is. It's about our salvation. But let me share one more thought with you and I'm done. The distinction. The reason salvation is going to be accomplished by this plan is twofold according to Zacharias. The reason that God forgives our sins, the reason that Jesus Christ comes and dies in our place, the reason that God forgives our bad is because of the mercy of God. The presence of John the Baptist, the presence of Jesus Christ are both manifestations of God's mercy. God has such a love for us, God has such a deep-seated compassion for us that He has set in motion this wonderful plan of salvation. How many are glad tonight it's not based upon all the good works that you do? Aren't you glad you don't have hoops you got to jump through and lists you got to check off and so much you got to do? This plan of salvation simply is by the mercy of God. Salvation is ultimately an act of God's mercy. There's nothing deserved here, nothing earned here. Our plight was so bad that God was moved toward us by pity and by mercy and by compassion. And that mercy and pity and compassion was so great that He provided salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to die so that we may have forgiveness of our sins. And then this is what Zacharias says. He says, this plan of salvation is accomplished because of the mercy of God, but also by the materialization of the light. And Zacharias says here, spiritually speaking, the world at his time, and the world tonight, and all of its inhabitants are spiritually in utter darkness. You hear that? Two words used here to describe humanity. He says they sit in darkness in the shadow of death. I want you to understand something tonight. If you're not saved, you're in darkness and you're sitting at the edge of death. Do you hear? You're in darkness and you're sitting at the edge of death, in the shadow of death. Humanity in the dark. The world is in the dark, waiting on death to lead them to further darkness, because after this life, there's further darkness in hell. The idea of darkness and death is hopelessness and helplessness. And you can almost see humanity groping in the darkness of their spiritual darkness and spiritual death that will wind up in hell. That's where all of us were at one time and where some still live. If you're saved tonight, you were once in utter darkness. If you're lost tonight, you're still in utter darkness. That's where we are by default. But God, by His mercy, sends exactly what darkness needs. He sends exactly what hopelessness needs. He sends light. And Zacharias says, this light will guide our steps toward peace. The light that God sent to us who were in utter darkness in the shadow of death was Jesus Christ. And He is our only hope. And He is our only help. There is but one light. Not two lights, not three, not four, five, or six. There is one light that leads to peace with God, and that light is Jesus Christ. John the Baptist will prepare a people for the coming of the Messiah by proclaiming a salvation that they have no knowledge of. A salvation not of law keeping and doing good, but of forgiveness by sins by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, grounded in the mercy of God and accomplished by the light of God, shining to those in darkness and death. And that's the plan of salvation. And John the Baptist is getting ready to kick it off. Can I ask you a question? Those people at work that are in utter darkness that you know, those people at church in utter darkness that you know, those neighbors around you that are in utter darkness and in the shadow of death, are you sharing with them the light of Christ? No other light will do. Especially at Christmas, are you sharing with them the light of Jesus Christ that they desperately need? All the things of Christmas are great, but they don't save anyone. The light of Jesus Christ saves. And I trust if you're not saved tonight, that God will so deal with your heart that in your darkness and in the shadow of death, you will see hope and you will see help in the light of Christ and Him alone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings and for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank You for the benediction of Zacharias. What a wonderful truth it is to focus us and to get us truth about what Christmas is, what the coming of Christ is all about. And may we who are saved, we who have been in darkness but have seen the light of Christ, may we rejoice in that truth and that fact that God loved us so and was so merciful toward us that He sent His Son to die on the cross and shed His blood so that our sins could be forgiven and we could have peace with God. What a glorious day it is, the day that God came in the flesh to further the plan of salvation for us. And I pray those here tonight that don't know You, that are in darkness, may know the answers, may know the theological answers, may be a little religious, but experientially they have never experienced Christ in their heart. They've never experienced forgiveness of their sins. I pray that You would deal with their hearts, not let them rest until they bow their knee to Christ and seek forgiveness for their sins. I pray that You would be glorified and exalted today and every day, especially on the day that we celebrate Your birth. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen.